Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. We are back again. Your host tonight, I'm joined by the boy wonder from down under who's living in the colonies up north. It's Dom Nusk. How are you, mate?
I'm not too bad. I think I've almost forgotten what I'm supposed to do. It's been so long since I've been on one of these things.
Well, whose fault's that?
I'm going to blame Danny because he's not here.
Fair enough. I'll go with that. It's good to have you back, pal.
Yeah, it's good to be on.
I specifically chose to be on with you because I do enjoy podcasting with you. So you should be honoured.
So you should.
Also with me tonight, we have the one and only. He's the lady's favourite. It's John Welsh. John, how are you?
I'm great after that compliment. You're going to make me the lady's favourite when we've got Dom on. I feel honoured, Jace. Thanks. Dom will take that.
But you've got a shit beard.
Yeah. No, but he's got a little skunk thing going on up here, and it's distracting me.
There's a lot more. This camera doesn't do it justice, mate. There's a lot more than you think.
There's a Pepe Le Pew, huh? Pepe Le Pew. You've got to watch old Warner Brothers cartoons to work that one out.
Bit of Silver Fox, mate. They love it.
Silver Fox. Silver Skunk. Okay, in the chat box, we have Corey Sealus, Sidhu7549, Kalito Elguna, Mehdi, the one and only Stephen Edwards. He's going to blame Ramsey for today. Usama Zaka, Jovey82, Danny the GFP, Frogower, K-Man Arsenal Forever, Kalito Elguna, Ian Bourne, Stan the Man 450, Schwinn Lackamagunman, The Walrus and the Hedgehog, Daniel Cronin. Ah, happy days. We got some old favourites there. Hope you're all well, guys. What can we say about today? Let's go straight into it. Lineups, Dom. You haven't been on for a while. What do you think of the lineup today?
The game started here at 7 a.m, so I set my alarm for exactly 7 a.m, didn't even see a lineup before I turned the game on, but I was a little surprised at the team. There was no recognisable left back again, which I thought was quite strange, so there has to be some kind of injury to Kolasinac, but then you'd wonder why we wouldn't play one of our centre backs and then let Monreal play left back, but I'm sure we'll get to that. But other than that, I guess the team pretty much picked itself. Lacazette starting instead of Giroud. Probably the right choice at home, I'd say. But all in all, wasn't anything too outrageous, given the injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, John, going back to a 4-3-3, you've been crying out for us to go back to a back four for a while. We did it against West Ham the other night and again today. Were you happy with that?
Yeah, I was. But there's some interesting things I think have come out of that. The way the manager talked about it after the last game, he was very much on the, we can play a back four away sometimes if we need to be a little bit more solid and have the extra man in midfield. And if we're at home and we want to be a bit more expressive, we can play three at the back. But we didn't do that today, which didn't make sense against a team who are fighting relegation. I'm still happy that we had a back four, but I just think it kind of, what it says is, he's more playing with that formation at the moment because he either hasn't got the personnel that he wants to play a back three and he doesn't trust the people that he could bring in as options. You know, we've got Callum Chambers, we've got Rob Holding, excuse me. So they're all players who could play in a back three who he's decided not to pick. Like Dom said, no Kolasinac. So is that injury? Is that just resting him? Monreal can play left back. You can bring one of those two I mentioned in at centre back. So I think it's as pleased as I was to see a back four, I just thought it was kind of the manager giving a hint of certain players he's maybe not trusting that much at the moment. Jace, you're on mute, mate.
Thanks, pal. Trying to do two things at once. Tom, as John's alluded to, maybe Arsene doesn't trust some of the squad. But, moving on from the West Ham game to today, I look at our back four and, I think Shelny's short on confidence. I think his nerves are a bit short. He looked really shaky today. Monreal's trying to do maybe a bit too much. I think, yeah, man, you can't knock him at the moment. He's doing a really nice job there for us in a position he's not used to. And Hector lacks confidence as well. Do you agree with that, or do you see it differently? What do you think?
I see it slightly differently, honestly. I think every time we've had a solid back three or back four or whatever we've done, it comes from dominance in midfield. It comes from the back... the back four players knowing that they've got that protection in front. And Xhaka had a terrible game today, turning the ball over far too often. And so for the last few games now, it's been awfully, awfully simple for teams to just run through our midfield and counter-attack, which is one of the reasons why Alexis's wayward passing's probably been highlighted even more recently, because there's just no protection there whatsoever. And we're playing very high as well, trying to put teams under that pressure. But someone in the chat box put it really well earlier, I think, when they said that our best performance in the last four or five games was our 3-1 loss to Man United. And I agree. We haven't really dominated at a game like that since. So confidence, probably, confidence definitely would be an issue. But I didn't think Koscielny was that bad today.
There were a couple of moments where he hesitated.
Well, you're hesitating because you don't know what the hell's going on around you. He's playing in a back three sometimes, playing in a back four sometimes. I think, for me, I just want us to stick to a formation and perfect it and get a system down pat where everybody knows their role. And I've been saying that for so long now, and I think that's what you're seeing when you're seeing these world-class players, and they are. They're international. They're going off to the World Cup. They just seem to be second-guessing parts of the game that they normally wouldn't. And I think that's a result of the formation and the system and the players around, where no one really knows what the hell's going on.
No, I find that very hard to argue with a lot of the time. Okay, in the chat box now we have Jeffrey O'Hara, Brian, Nicky Wilson, the one and only Nicky Wilson, Benny Ogden, formerly Noza, Sam Rogers, have I missed anybody? Rudy Rastlos is back, Rudy Rastlos. X in there. Let's see, have I missed any? I'm not sure. Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it, John? You know, we look at us, we've had three really tough Premier League games now, and when you look at the talent we have available to us, you know, and you look at the confidence they're playing with, it's not really working as well as it should, is it?
No, and it's weird because we're talking about a win today and 3 points. Than the result we needed after a, dodgy little patch of form. But again, we're here complaining because it's still not good enough. You say we've had three hard games. We played, Southampton, West Ham and Newcastle. West Ham, 19th. Newcastle, down at the bottom as well. They're in 17th. And Southampton, 12th. You know, these shouldn't be difficult games. You know,
they shouldn't be, but we've made them difficult, haven't we?
Yeah, and, I've heard different excuses. You know, it's the fixture congestion started now, and I get that. Yeah, that's going to affect you, obviously. But our first team has only played Premier League all season, hasn't played in Europe at all, our first 11. And we're coming into this against squads which are much smaller than ours that are going to be way more stretched over this period and should be more tired. And we're struggling in games. And that's a real, real, real worry. We got one moment of brilliance in the game and it was fantastic and it was a beautiful goal. But again, we put ourselves in a situation where we could have ended up throwing away 3 points and ended up with a draw. The saving grace we've got this season at the moment is that Chelsea, United, Tottenham and Liverpool are all kind of floundering around like us. And we're all kind of made, all of the other teams, including ourselves, are being made to look idiots by Man City at the moment, who just don't seem to stop winning.
It's a different kettle of fish in Man City, isn't it? Danny put in the chat box, what did Wenger say about him? Chelsea have been struggling, as Jeffrey O'Hara has just put in the box there. Chelsea struggled against West Ham, Southampton, and Southampton recently, but Arsene Wenger said, you know, we have ideas, Man City have ideas and petrol. You know, and you look at the depth of their squad and it's different kettle of fish. But to put that together to really, you know, to produce the football that they're producing at the moment, you got to take your hats off to them, no matter how much money they've spent.
Yeah, I get their argument. And as much as people have taken some of his quotes out of context, I think he did actually praise them and say how brilliant they've been, you know, and they deserve to be where they are. But
yeah,
you look at everything Arsene said for Chelsea, Leicester, you know, Liverpool, all the seasons when they weren't in the Champions League and they had no European football, or they had Europa League football and that was all they had to deal with. He said, oh, well, they've got the convenience of it. It's helpful. They can rotate their squad so much easier. Now we're in that position, and he starts making excuses. Don't get me wrong. I don't expect him to come out and go, oh, yeah, we've been shit and whatever, because he's not going to say that. There's no point. It doesn't benefit the team in any way if he does that. He's not a kind of manager. But I think trying to say we've got fitness issues or anything else, or we haven't got the squad depth to deal with the extra games that come in December, is kind of ridiculous. We have good enough players to beat those teams. Yes, we won today, but we should have done it in a much more comfortable fashion. Newcastle got what, 1 point from their last 8 games? Now 9 after today. That performance isn't good enough.
No, I agree with you. Dom, before I go to you and the next question, Rob Wilkins has just put in the chat box, got loads of pissed up Geordies in my house. I'm milking it regardless. Pray for me. That's cheered me right up. That has cheered me right up. Mr. Bob Blex and 235100, Von Cringe, they're all in there. Dom, the game started off, we were dominant. Created kind of half chances. They had a couple of breaks here and there. Did you struggle to watch that game like I did? Or what did you think? What was your take on it?
Yeah, I agree. I think we were pretty up for it early doors. And then we kind of just settled into the same kind of patterns of trying to pass through a brick wall. I think there were a few little moments there where, you know, your Sanchez's and Xhaka were trying to clip balls over the top and try something a little different. But Newcastle did defend well. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here over the last few weeks and sort of pick apart our performance. But you do have to sort of remember that there are 11 other players on the pitch that don't just let you do whatever you want. Man City are making it look like that's the case when they play. But The difference for us is that we're halfway through the season, basically, aren't we? And I don't actually know what we're trying to do still. Man City, Man United, I wouldn't want to play like Man United, but you know what they're going to do. Everybody knows what they're going to do, and they're sitting second at the moment. So as critical as I am of Mourinho and Man United, they have a system, they have a process. He believes in his structures, and it's getting them some results. Man City are no different. Pep's obviously a superior coach, and his tactics, although, yes, he does have an expensive squad. It's not like he went out and bought Mbappe. He didn't go and buy Neymar. He didn't go after the big, big names. It's just they have a situation where Kyle Walker's going to cost them £50 million, and it makes their transfer spend look ridiculous, but he's not a £50 million player. Same when they bought Sterling, same when they bought a lot of their players. They haven't really headhunted any of the outrageous kind of, you know, dream team type football manager stuff. Pep's just put together players that he wants to fit his structure and fit his system. And it just so happens everybody knows they can charge Man City double the money and they're going to pay it. But for me, the biggest worry is I don't know what we're trying to do. 1 week we're a back three, 1 week we're a back four. Sometimes we press, sometimes we don't. I mean, if I'm confused, you can imagine what the players must be thinking. And that creates the uncertainty. If everybody's not working, like the games that we play well is when it's very obvious that every single player is doing the exact same thing on the pitch, whether it's press, whether it's sit back or cornering, whatever it is. Against Man United, against Tottenham, the Tottenham game, we just put them under so much pressure and pressed every single opportunity we had. And I remember the commentators after the game saying, well, what are they going to do when they turn up to, where was it? We'd had, was it Burnley next week? I think it was.
Yeah.
They were asking, it's like, okay, well, what Arsenal are we going to see next week? And that shouldn't be That shouldn't be the question that you have. If professional pundits are thinking that, and well, us fans are obviously thinking that, we should know exactly what Arsenal we're going to get every week. Every good team that goes on to win things, even the Leicester, you knew what you were getting every week, and they just believed that they were going to do it better. Some weeks it's not going to work. Some weeks you'll have those 34 shots on target against Man United and lose the game. But if you are able to stick to a high level of play, like the Tottenham game or however it is that you want to play, and you continue to do it, then rotation doesn't matter because the player that steps in for the injured player knows their role. You can confidently put Rob Holding in instead of Mustafi, and it's not going to matter because you know that he knows his role. I just don't really understand what it is that we're trying to do, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
No, I don't think that's fair. I think that's very fair, to be fair, mate. You know, it is difficult to grade sort of performances after you watch the Tottenham game and the United game, where, you know, we played very well, we just couldn't finish. And we gave away stupid goals. You know, it's very frustrating watching us at the moment. John, the first half, we tried to be positive. We don't have that creativity, though. We don't seem to find that creativity a lot of the time to be able to finish a goal, to be able to create clear-cut chances. It's always a half a chance. Are we not taking our shots early enough? What do you think is the cause? And we'll come on to Ozil's goal next, but what do you think is the cause for that?
I think it depends on what formation we're playing on the day. The lack of width we have in the team is a concern with either shape, but I think it shows a lot more when we play a back four because we're not playing with wing backs, we're playing with traditional fullbacks who don't get as they don't provide as much width naturally. I think, you know, you saw from today, from the goal, obviously it came from creating a little bit of space and getting in behind. I feel slightly sorry for Lacazette and also a little bit for Giroud as well. I can't remember who it is, but someone in the chat box has been giving me stick most of the season for picking on Giroud and sticking up for Lacazette. But I do kind of get what he means now with what he's been saying. We don't really seem to involve our centre-forwards enough in the play or play to either of their strengths or play the ball into them enough anyway. Everything is always very much inside, straight back to the middle where whoever we're playing against is going to pack the midfield and going to have two or three centre-backs depending on who we're playing against. The final pass isn't sharp enough. Depending on what player it goes to is also dependent on the play. If it goes to Alexis, he's going to cut inside, he's going to take five touches and then he'll make the pass. He won't do it instantly. Iwobi doesn't release the ball quick enough. Jack does release the ball quick enough, but he's got a different idea from what everyone else is trying to do on the team. Because I said before, I think Jack Wilshere is trying to play football, and I don't blame him. He's playing football that we used to do when we had Fabregas in the team, and the rest of the team aren't really doing that or aren't capable of it other than maybe Ozil. Ozil, I think, has been much more improved than over the last couple of games. You know, four or five games, he's played a lot better. He's dropped a little bit deeper, and he's getting more of the ball and he's trying to affect the play more. But again, he's not having the same options around him. He's not having runners. He's not having movement. Ramsey being out of the team is a big issue. It's not all just down to him. But as soon as you take him out of the squad, then there is no one from our midfield who runs beyond the striker to make space. You saw Jack trying to do it a little bit today, which he didn't do in the West Ham game. He was a little bit more central and a little deeper. Today, he tried to run on a little bit. But there was no one opening up space behind the defence and trying to pull defenders around. And when you add all of that together, you're just not going to create that many chances. Having said that, today I thought we were better than the West Ham game. I thought the opportunities we created and the space we made was much better than we have done the last few games. But players not being clinical enough, Lacazette wasn't today. He had a good couple of opportunities. Jack should have scored today and he didn't. He really wasted a good chance. Alexis was better than he has been, but still really poor today. Hasn't found his form. Until he gets dropped from the team or gets back to his best, that's going to affect us because that's one of our key players in the build-up. And also, I think the fact that him on that side he doesn't often pass outside of him to whether it be Maitland-Niles, Kolasinac, whoever it is. So again, restricts our width. So you put all of those things together and you're just not going to create enough opportunities in a game. And like Dom said earlier as well, you've got to account for the opposition, because I actually don't think Newcastle were particularly good today, and you can see why they're in a relegation. But I thought on the West Ham game, West Ham played well. I thought Southampton as well, they defended well. So sometimes it is just the opposition playing, you know, very good football.
Okay, we'll come on to the goal, Dom. It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? I mean, to be fair, we spoke about Ozil on the podcast this week and the fact that he doesn't deliver enough goals, and he pops up, you know, with an absolute stunner today. Talk me through it, pal.
That was definitely one of those goals that just when he hit it and hit the back of the net, you know, I yelled out pretty loudly, because that's a bit of a holy shit moment, wasn't it? It was... Yep. The guy has that in his locker, though, doesn't he? His technique is just so good. The way that he was moving backwards to prepare himself to swing the leg over the ball like that, got over the top, and it wasn't actually right in the corner either, was it? It was just hit so well that the... John's expecting company. No, she's not here yet. He hit it so well that the goalkeeper really didn't have a chance to do anything. It was in the back of the net before he knew what was happening.
Yeah, the technique to be able to do that. And I mean, the keeper was just flat-footed. He had no hope. But the defence, you know, it was one of those moments where everybody just watched it go in. But I loved his anticipation in taking that goal. You know, the way he anticipated the ball coming back, he gave himself space. John, your thoughts on the goal, mate?
Just like I said previously, it came from us exploiting some width and finally getting wider. Iwobi, who was playing as one of the three in midfield, picked the ball up in a wider area, got himself some room, and he put a really nice ball across. And I actually think that the ball was originally intended for Ozil. It looked like anyway. And Alexis sort of stormed onto it and got the shot deflected. But like you said, the ability to read where the ball is, you know, not definitely, but likely to bounce out to, from a player who is not a striker, you know, who is creative and is more of a number 10. That's something you expect from, you know, Lacazette, you know, Fox in the Box type players who know, oh, the ball's going to drop here, so I've got to position myself. And just that couple of steps back to steady himself and get the perfect angle on the shot and the dip and everything on it, it was just brilliant. It's a really good goal. He needs to score more goals, whether he stays or not. You know, that's another thing, but it's something he's always needed to add to his game, I think. And today, I think the one thing with this, the 4-3-3 we play, it's 4-3, Ozil wherever, and then, you know, one winger and a striker. But the winger, unfortunately, is Alexis and doesn't play as a winger. So he gets that kind of freedom that he doesn't have when we play that three at the back, where he's sort of more, you've got to be kind of on that right hand side and help your wing back out. And he doesn't get that mobility and able to roam all over the pitch. And I don't think he doesn't get himself in position to score that goal if we're playing that back three today. So I was really pleased for him, because he's been on a really good run of form. Even in the games where we have been disappointing, he's been one of our better players, which is something we haven't seen before. You know, he always puts in, all the times he's been praised in previous seasons, his games where we've won and we've looked comfortable when everyone's been playing well and everything. And we've never seen him be like a standout player where the team's performed badly. And he started to do that this season. It's a shame that it might be his last season that he's decided to start doing that. Hopefully we can keep him, but, you know, as long as he keeps doing that for the rest of the season, I'll still be very happy. Just brilliant goal. And there's not many players in, you know, in our team that can do that technique.
No, it's strange, you know. Let's go into Ozil in a little bit more depth then, okay? Dom, when you look at the guy's ability, when you look at his technical ability, you know, his technique on the ball, why does he struggle to score goals? You know, because even when he gets a clear chance on goal a lot of the time,
it's not in his instinct. I mean, we saw today that ball dropped to him, didn't think, he knew that he was shooting the ball. There was no pass to be played. It was just bang. And you know, we've said similar things with Theo Walcott, where he has that instinctual finishing, but you give him time and he's going to fluff it. Whereas I just don't think Ozil has the instinctual, I'm going to shoot this ball when he gets to his feet. He looks for a pass first. And sometimes when he's doing that, the opportunity to shoot and get a decent shot off has already passed. You know, as soon as he takes that touch, looks up and looks for a pass, the opportunity just to hit it first time is gone. And I mean, that's okay. I mean, there are times where you would want him to pull the trigger a little bit more often instead of looking and forcing passes. But for me, what I want to see him do is what Ramsey does a little bit more often, which is make those runs in behind, especially if he's going to play that position behind a striker, because, you know, he's going to not have to make the effort that Ramsey does to do that. And then maybe Ramsey doesn't need to do it as much, which leaves us in a position where we won't get counterattacked as easily. But in saying that, Ozil seems to be the only one capable of playing passes to unlock a defence, and he can't exactly pass the through ball to himself. But I think John was spot on earlier, because I think the biggest issue we have is if you watch, and it's not a fair comparison at the moment because they're playing football that we haven't seen for a long time in the Premier League, but Manchester City, they will find ways to pass the ball behind defences, whether it's little runs down the channels on the outsides, little flicks here and there. We seem to have this habit of passing it to the middle where either Lacazette or Giroud is. They come out, they tap the ball and they try to flick it on to another runner, this one-touch stuff to try to get someone running with the ball through the defence. And I think as soon as you do that, it becomes very, very predictable. And I don't think it puts any kind of fear into a back line, or not necessarily a back line, because Man City are having to deal with the same issues that we've had, where teams are going to go and sit there and try and block up space and defend. But Man City find ways to pull defenders out the way, little sliding passes through channels. And we've got players that are capable of playing those passes, but what we don't have is players that are going to make those runs to get on the end of it. And I think that's half of the issue. Like Sanchez on that left wing and Iwobi are not players that are going to receive the ball behind the back four. They're just not going to make those runs. They will run towards the ball, pick the ball up and dribble and cut inside. But there's no one making those runs in behind. And John's spot on. If you're going to play a front three, you need those wingers to do that. And then you can do these little cut balls across the box and, you know, sliding things and just causing chaos and get a rebound and someone slaps one in. But when you're just trying to force the ball through the middle like that, it doesn't matter if Lacazette's starting. It doesn't matter if Giroud's starting. We could have Messi up there and it probably wouldn't help that much at the moment. If you're going to play so one-dimensional and try to force the ball through, it makes it extremely easy to defend.
Yeah, no. To be fair, I mean, Maitland-Niles, I think. Was it Maitland-Niles with the cross that led to the goal?
No, I think it was Iwobi.
It was Iwobi. Then. It was a really, you know, I give Iwobi a lot of stick, and rightfully so. You know, he's a talented boy, but his decision-making is putrid. It's just awful. But the cross he made, that led to the goal was really intelligent. It was behind the back four. It was, you know, cut back. It was really nice. Obviously, you know, we had the thing that led to that. We're going to stick on Iwobi, John. You know, you look at his feet. He's got a fantastic pair of feet. He's obviously a massive talent, okay? But I think he's struggling in this team at the moment. I think, you know, he's better than he was today than he was against West Ham, but still, he's not effective. He's not effective for us. Do you see it differently? What do you think?
Sorry about that. Yeah, he's... I think since we've changed the back four and he's been allowed to play in midfield, he's done better in a midfield three. It's more natural for him to be central than it is wider. You know, he can find his own little pocket of space and turn with the ball. And he likes to carry the ball and try and get past a player or make the pass. It is down to his decision-making at the moment. That is what he's struggling with. Lots of people talking, there's a few people in the chat saying about how good he is for Nigeria, and it's true, he's really good for them. I know international football is different level and I don't think it's as competitive as club football, depending on who you're playing, obviously. But he's doing it there, so there is definitely an issue at Arsenal. I do think he's got a fitness issue we've spoken about before, whether he needs to drop some weight and slim down a little bit, because he is a big, he's a really big player. He's a lot bigger than I think he looks. It comes across on the TV. So maybe he needs to drop a little bit of weight and get his fitness a little bit higher. And he just needs to, it's this typical instinct of all Arsenal players of, you've got two options. I'm going to pass to the player inside me rather than the one outside. And a lot of the time, that's not necessarily always his fault, because sometimes that is, I don't have a player outside me to play out for width. But he doesn't look for Bellerin enough. I think partly of that is Bellerin isn't getting there all the time anymore, which is another issue. But also, Bellerin's delivery is not great as well. So do you really want to pass to him? I think playing in a midfield with... essentially, he's really more like a midfield four, because Ozil basically plays in there as well. He's playing with three other left-footed players, which is probably slightly odd to play to. I don't think people realise that you generally try to play into people's feet, and it's probably kind of confusing constantly playing into a left foot, but everywhere else on the pitch is a right foot, and you're looking in central midfield. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know if he needs a break from the team, maybe. I'm not sure what will fix it. I've seen people say, talk about loans and stuff. I think he's past that point now. He's past that age. It might be in needs a little bit of a shock to the system and say, no, you know what? You're not playing well enough. Someone else is going to come in and nick your spot, and you've got to reassess and go back. But this happens with young players. They come in, they do well in their first season or half season, or whenever it is they come into the team, and then they drop off a little bit. And they have that natural dip, and then they'll come back up again. So, I expect, or at least I hope he's got the ability to get better. The one thing is now, you said about his good feet. Was it Steve said he's got dancing feet, like Tina Turner? So which came up this great, I've got this horrible mental image of Iwobi cross-dressing as Tina Turner singing Private Dancer. Or so I was watching the last 15, 20 minutes of the game. I mean, it cheered me up because it made me laugh, but yeah.
Mate, I never, ever, ever want to enter your mind. It is a sick place. A truly sick place. Tom, the first half carried on. We had chances. We didn't finish them. We came on to the second half. Again, we had chances. Lacazette spurned a couple of ones where I thought he should have done a lot better. Maybe not scored, but at least test the keeper. We're suffering from this at the moment, aren't we? You know, I mean, the lack of lack of ability to finish, and the lack of creativity to create really, really solid chances where you can hardly miss. We're just not doing it. We're just not doing it. What are you going to put that down to? And I know you're going to mention football identity, etc. But is there any other reasons that you put it down to?
No, like I was saying earlier, I just don't think we have any other dimension to our game. And I don't think that we have players getting in behind the defence to give people, or the defenders especially, something else to worry about. I know Walcott's become a little bit of a running, not a running joke, but you know what I mean. He's not really a serious conversation piece in this Arsenal team right now, but he's a guy that scored 19 goals last season, and he did miss a big part of that, a big part of the season. And I think he was working quite hard when he was playing. It's just that the formation that we were playing at that time meant earlier this season with the back three means that he was nowhere near being able to get into this team. If we're going to do three at the front, I'd much prefer to see him playing over Alexis right now, because he will get in behind and give the defenders something else to worry about. He will get in behind and get on the end of a pass from Ozil. He will make those runs constantly. And it opens up space between the lines, because if they play and just sit there, assuming no one's going to run in behind, then he's going to have all the space in the world. And they can't. And if they sit back a little deeper, then it's going to give Ozil more space to run and create in between the two banks of four. So every time he's played, even if it's a substitute towards the end of a game, he causes issues. Whether he's getting on the end of the ball or not, it makes the back four or five or whoever we're playing something else to think about, rather than just us playing it straight down the middle and trying a little flick on and the amount of times we did that today. And how many times is that going to come off, really? Like, how many times is this little pinball stuff, like the Norwich goal with Wilshere, actually going to work? And it's the reason I've been so critical of Sanchez lately, is because he's not playing the percentage play. If there's an easy pass to play down his left that is going to keep the ball moving and keep the attack moving, and a left back is making an overlapping run, I can almost guarantee he's not going to play it. He's going to touch the ball five times. By the time that he looks up to play the ball, the left back's already made his run, and now the left back's out of position. So if he inevitably gives the ball away because he's going to try some Hollywood pass, then the left back's out of the game. There's a lot of aspects. There's a lot of things that I think need tweaking. And I think just shoehorning Alexis into this team right now is actually hurting the flow of our attack. I would love to see what would happen if... what I would have liked to see would have been a forward line of Giroud up top against West Ham, with Alexis and Ozil, Lacazette and Ozil behind that, and Alexis can go and sit on the bench. I think Lacazette's link-up play and his passing and the way that he moves around is a lot better than we all thought. I think he has showed that.
He's got a quick mind, doesn't he?
And he's also got the finishing instincts and stuff. Like, he's not going to be as prolific as Alexis, but I think just for the overall flow right now, I think he's a better fit to put into the team. If you're going to squish someone into the team, I'd rather have someone that's committed to being here than somebody that isn't playing well and we don't know whether he's going to be staying or not. So why have a reliance on a player that isn't actually producing? If he was scoring and assisting like he was, you know, in periods last year, for sure, you put up with the fact that he's probably going to end up leaving us. But he's not performing at all. So I don't really see any point in shoehorning him into this side right now, because I don't think it's beneficial to anybody. And you can see the frustrations with the players too. You know, apparently him and Wilshere had a few heated words last game.
Yeah, I think he's frustrating a lot of people. You know, there was the chat when about him and Ramsey not getting on and not passing to each other. And I anticipated, because they I thought they linked up quite well over a few games. Obviously, with them with the injury, you see Jack coming in. And to be fair to Jack, I love the way he's vocal. You know, he'll say exactly what he thinks.
What did you think of Jack's performance today?
Meh.
What about you,
Jack? I didn't think he wasn't as good as the West Ham game. I thought in the West Ham game he was much better. You saw all the good things you see from Jack, or you expect to see from him, and you see those exciting things where he receives the ball, you know, he waits, brings in like three players, turns all of them, and he takes three or four players out of the opposition, you know, just bypasses all of them, and they're all then, you know, they're the wrong side of the ball. But today, it was weird. He wasn't playing as advanced. In a West Ham game, he was a lot further forward. You know, he was still picking the ball up deep, but he was taking the ball further forward. Today, he was a lot deeper. And him and Ozil seemed to switch positions from that West Ham game a little bit. They weren't playing the same roles. So I don't think he struggled today. I just didn't think he was as effective going forwards. But he was definitely seemed to me anyway to be playing a slightly different role. So I don't know if that's a manager or a fitness thing. You've also got to take into account, this is the first time he's played, what, two games, full 90 minutes in, what, 3 days?
Yeah.
Jesus, it's got to be years. You know, and I thought he's come through both games. He had a chance to score, in which I thought the West Ham game, okay, maybe not get a goal, but he should at least hit the target. Today, I think he should have scored rather than straight at the keeper. But he's come through both. Got kicked quite a few times, got up every single time, finished the game, seemed to finish fine. Maybe lagged a little bit in the last 10 minutes, which you kind of expect. So overall, I'm really pleased with the way he's performed so far. I'm not sure he can do, you know, 2-3 games a week, though. Maybe, you know, as the season goes on, he might get there. But at the moment, I would probably only play him, you know, one game a week and then maybe give him 20-30 minutes kind of thing.
I think the big problem is with Jack at the moment is the pressure on him from the fans. Yeah. You know, people, you know, they talk as if he's the saviour.
Yeah.
Well, we've spoken before, and you know, there's one game he's dominated in his Arsenal career against Barcelona, which set the bar so high for the guy. Live up to that week in, week out. Yeah. And I do agree. You know, you look at his talent on the ball, it's undeniable.
He's a victim of his own ability. It's a weird thing to say. It's kind of like how Arsene Wenger is perhaps slightly unfairly judged over certain seasons because of what he achieved in his earlier career. Because everything's set at that standard. That's what we expect. You should be hitting that and above, you know. And Jack's done, unfortunately, kind of got the same thing as well.
Yeah, but again, given his talent and you know, he can do things with the ball. He's a bit like Santi Cazorla in the fact that he's a unique talent in this squad. But he needs to influence games more. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
There's players around him that are able to function well too. I just think the way that we're playing right now, it's very difficult and I'm going to contradict myself here, but I think it's very difficult to isolate a certain player and be really overly critical. Not that we're doing that of Jack, because I think he's been quite good.
He's good, but he's not the second coming of Jesus.
No, he's not. But I think that you would see a better Jack if everything else was running smoother.
Yeah.
If the team was functioning, results aren't necessarily what I'm talking about here, because you can play terribly like we did today and win, or you can play amazingly against Man United and lose. But it's the way that we've been playing for all of this season that it's not like you can plug and play. It's not like a Man City where if a player is slightly out of form, it's going to show because everyone else is playing so well. It's very difficult to know what their level is at right now, unless they've been, like, I think Ramsey is a standout for us. I think Ozil's been a bit of a standout for us. But other than that, there hasn't been too many games in a row where everybody's played really well. If everyone had a 7 out of 10 game on the whole field, you would assume that you're going to win most games, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think we've had too many games like that this season where there's been we've sat here afterwards talking and said, oh, wow, who didn't play well today? It's more, well, Ozil's played well in some bad games. Ramsey's played well in some bad games. We're talking more so about team performance than we are individuals. Otherwise, we might as well the whole team. And I don't think Koscielny's a bad player, but he's had some bad games. I don't think Xhaka is a bad player, but man, he was not good today. And some of his passing and his decision making was horrible. But I want to know more. I want to know why it is that he's making these decisions. Who's either someone telling him to? Is he just not comfortable being isolated in that role? Does he need somebody else next to him? Is the formation not suiting him? I don't know. But there's a lot more going on than just pointing out individual mistakes and saying that player's not played well.
I'm gonna come back on that now, okay? And you know, the Iwobi shot today, which he rolled at the keeper, the Jack hitting straight at the keeper, and the one he should have hit the target at least on the other night. These are individual errors, which these guys are better players than that.
But you're not going to get it right every time.
No. I agree with you.
Going back to the Lacazette thing with the finishing, I think he was playing for a Manchester City, he'd have more goals.
He'd have more chances.
Yeah, he'd have just as many misses. When you think to yourself, oh shit, I've finally got a shot on goal, it's taken 35 minutes for me to have a free shot here, you're probably going to rush it a little bit. You know, it's even the best players in the world, and he is one of the best strikers in the world, get a little bit nervous when they don't know when the next chance is going to come around the corner. If you're playing for Man City and you miss one, you're not going to be that disheartened, are you? We're going to get another chance in about 3 minutes' time anyway. I think that's a big part of it too.
I agree with what you're saying, but you know, these individual moments are what make and break you, okay? That's going to give you confidence, or you're going to kick yourself for the next 10 minutes on those shots, okay? And everybody's human, and you know, you don't want to hammer anybody for that sort of thing. But I think as well, if you're actually looking at it, the decision making from Iwobi when he's got ball at feet is so poor. Nobody's sure what to expect. With Sanchez on the pitch at the moment, at times it must feel for these guys that they're playing with 10 men. And as you say, if the left back has bombed on and he cuts inside and loses the ball, you're down to 9 men going backwards. And I think that, you know, when you look at Koscielny and you look at his form recently, you know, Lauren Koscielny's been a wonderful player for us. He's always had a rash moment in him. He's always had a rick in it in him. But at the moment, his confidence looks shot. You know, he's playing stupid passes. You've got Monreal next to him where you expect Koscielny to play the leadership role in that team. On Wednesday, the Arnautović goal was called offside. They're both running back. Arnautović and Koscielny are together at one point, and Koscielny gets back into position. He makes no call to Xhaka or Monreal. Watch him. There's no call to anyone. He seems to be struggling, and I think that goes through the team. I think we're a bit like Bunny in the headlights at the moment. Our confidence is shot because, you know, if the ball's going to Sanchez at present, whereas last year he'd get an assist or get a goal very often, more often than not, it's coming back and we're being counter-attacked. And that's a big issue. And before I come to John on this, Ian Bones is in the chat box. Ryan Cost, I'm trying to get through every. Oscar Arias, we love Oscar Arias. Chill Doctor, Jesse Hitman. Trying to catch up here, guys. I do apologise. We got some great questions for later. Michael Hahnemann is in there. Ansu35100. We've mentioned him. Yeah, you know, there's. Haboon Shabir's in there as well. Dr. Gray's in there. If I've missed any of you, I do apologise. John, what are your thoughts on what Dom's just brought up? Have you got anything to add to that? Because in the second half of this game, you know, as you mentioned in our WhatsApp group, we took off Iwobi, we brought on Welbeck, we took off Lacazette, brought on Ollie. And all of a sudden, from having a 3-man midfield, we've got a 2-man midfield because Ozil, as you pointed out, isn't dropping deep enough and helping the team out. And all of a sudden, we were under pressure. They had the better the second half and they're on in. Did that cause havoc for us? Well, you know, let the guys know what you think.
Yeah, it was. I got taken away by off. He was. Again, doing the usual thing, starting to flag a little bit. I think he'd also he'd run for a through ball and like he didn't fall, but he looked like he pulled his leg a little bit. I'm not sure if he pulled a muscle or something, but he was struggling slightly. So I think that was part of the reason coming off. He'd actually played a really nice through ball for Lacazette where Laka tried to chip the keeper. It was like totally the wrong decision. I mean, if it comes off, it looks great, but it was a really, really bad effort. I was disappointed with his finishing today, although he didn't get a lot of chances. But yeah, it was weird because Welbeck's come on and been told to play on the right. Well, looked like that anyway. Basically didn't do anything, I thought, for the time that he's come on. He's been really disappointing, actually, the last couple of games he's come on in, to be honest. I don't think he's affected the match in any way whatsoever. And then we end up with just Xhaka and Jack in midfield. Ozil, I think, either doesn't know or hasn't been told to come into midfield and help out because he was previously playing from the right. And we get outnumbered in there and you get the typical thing of, you know, we're only 1-0 up. We start to sit a little bit deeper. The mindset comes in. We start panicking a little bit and Newcastle started applying pressure. And, you know, if their delivery was better or their forwards, their movement and stuff was better, they could have easily got a goal. I think their best chance was probably, I think it was Ayoze Perez, had a free header that he put well wide, but he was totally unmarked and could have easily buried that if he put it on target. So I didn't understand the manager's rationale for that substitution. It kind of seems like it's now... Okay, well, we get to a certain period. Lacazette is always coming off and Giroud is always coming on. Whichever way round it is, whoever started the game, it's like the standard sub. We're just going to do that now, regardless of what's happening in the game. I can understand if Lacazette's not performing well and you bring Giroud on, fine. Or you bring on Welbeck for him, whatever you want to do. But at that point in the game, I would have, if you're going to bring one player on, I can understand Welbeck if you're swapping him for Lacazette, because you've still got pace and movement and he can get around up front. And Newcastle were naturally going to have to push a little bit, so they're going to be a bit exposed in behind. Giroud's not going to offer you that. Yes, he'll tussle with defenders and they're a bit tired, so he's got that advantage there. And he set up Jack for a good chance, that header back that he knocked down that Jack should have scored.
It was a lovely bit of play from Giroud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, when the cross first went in and he got his head to it, before Jack had hit it, I thought, you absolute twat, you just robbed a goal off of Welbeck, because Welbeck's coming in behind him, but I'm not sure Welbeck was actually going to get there. I thought the defender might have. But it was a really, really good cushioned header down for Jack. And Jack, I think, after the West Ham miss, was just like, I'll just hit the target. And rather than, you know, trying to place it anywhere, and then unfortunately hit straight at the keeper. But yeah, they got their chances there, and it's in a game where we've controlled it. We looked better than the West Ham game. I thought we were playing a better tempo. We'd created enough chances, half chances, to at least score a goal, and we hadn't. And we leave ourselves in a position where we can end up dropping 3 points. You know, so I'm not sure I understand the manager's reasoning for the subs. I do think it's a little bit automatic, you know, kind of autopilot. This player's coming off at this time, so this one comes straight in. And you could see that as soon as they started to pressure us, it wasn't, are we going to make, you know, I don't know, I can't even remember who was on the bench, you know, whatever other sub that could have come on. It was, oh, crap, I've messed up a little bit here. We need to get Coquelin on and shore up the midfield again. You know, which is kind of an admittance of, maybe I've made a mistake with the substitutions. Now, I don't have a problem with that, because if there's 5 minutes to go and you're under the pressure and you're only 1-0 up, that's fine. That makes sense. It's a good decision, but you shouldn't put yourself in that position in the first place. That's the point of it. You know, this is not a good Newcastle team. This is a team that is full of, you know, a lot of championship players. Let's be honest. They haven't really invested. You know, they're possibly about to be bought out, aren't they, just before the transfer window. So it's not like they're a difficult team to play against. You know what you're going to get with them. And we shouldn't have been in that position. So it feels like every game now, Lacazette is not going to finish 90 minutes. You could see his frustration today. He was really disappointed. I think it was... I know some people said, oh, he threw his gloves at the manager. Well, he didn't throw his gloves at that. He just threw his gloves on the floor because he's annoyed because he didn't score a goal, because he knows he should have scored. That through ball from Iwobi where he took the chip shot, he knows he should have at least hit the target there and worked the keeper. The one where he created a little bit of space for himself and turned the defender inside out, he had the shot and he blasted it over. Again, he knows he should be hitting the target there because he's good enough, because we've all seen him. The goals he scored, French league or not, you've still got to have the ability to do it and score that amount of goals. What was it, 37 he got last year? It's, you know, he's a very good player. Harry Kane has just been kicked in the face by Otamendi.
Yeah. That's just kidding. Jeffrey Hart has just went in the chat box. You know, apparently he looks better after the kick.
That's brilliant. That's really cheered me up.
Speech impediment.
Oh, yeah, he might have a speech impediment. The one thing I did see actually before we get back to the Arsenal game, they were doing the, you know, Poch versus Pep, blah, 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 and whatever. And Pochettino's talking about all the other teams, saying, you know, Arsenal have quality, Chelsea have quality. And he went, and then there's the Harry Kane team. Every time, cracks me up. It's great. Some people don't want to, but I thought that's brilliant. Every time, makes me laugh. But yeah, I don't understand that some of the decisions the manager makes, some of the issues that we've got in the team or in a game, you can see things going on. You know, you've got players on the bench, you've got players on the pitch that can change shape and formation. You've got Ashley Maitland-Niles, who I thought had a really good game again playing out of position, you know, not on his favoured side. You could have slid him into midfield, you know, and put someone on at left back or move Nacho over. You know, there's all sorts of different things you could have done that you think would have made more sense than the subs we did. And at the moment, it honestly speaks to me that the manager doesn't trust Walcott. He doesn't trust Chambers or Holding. He doesn't want to play Mertesacker if it's a back two. You know, he doesn't want to play anyone over Bellerin at right back, which is weird because Bellerin has been really poor. You know, and there's Debuchy can play there. I think Ainsley Maitland-Niles has proved he can play fullback very well. And if he's right footed, it would make a lot more sense to play him on the right hand side than it would on the left. You know, but there's clearly players in the squad the manager does not trust and doesn't want near the first team. which makes no sense when you get to this period of the season, because it's such a fixture congestion build up. You've done all this rotation up to this point. Use it. Use the fact you've rotated players and that people are fresh. Don't play the first team, you know, three games in a row, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like Formula said, Hector looks knackered. He's been bad. He shouldn't be in the team anyway. And he's played all those games. You've got to, at some point, bring someone in for him. You know, you've got to, at some point, say, Alexis is not playing well enough to start anymore. He needs a bit of punishment. I know he's a big star name player, and yes, he can produce something out of nothing. It's absolutely true. And I love Alexis, and he's done amazing things for football club. But this season, he's done nothing. He has done absolutely nothing other than give the ball away a lot. Yes, he's got an assist here and there, but that's it. It's not good enough. There's other players who should be starting ahead of him at the moment. And the manager's got to be brave and do that. You can't keep playing people who are about to leave the club, clearly not going to stay. As I get, there's a chance he maybe stays, and he's actually playing well enough to deserve to be in the team. Alexis isn't. You need to drop him. Bellerin isn't playing well enough at the moment. Bring someone else in. Give someone else a chance. But make it difficult for these other players. Put that competition back in there, because at the moment, it's too easy for people. It's frustrating. Sorry, Ainsley, not Ashley. Did I say Ashley? Sorry, Chill Doctor. Apologies.
I've got to be honest. I totally agree with that. I look at some of the decisions and I think, I genuinely have thought, you've lost it, Arsene. I think he's reached an age where, you know, myself and Dom, me and you have spoken about this in the past, and, you know, I think we came to the same conclusion that he's at the age where he wants to be right about certain things. But going on to John's point now, we'll wrap up the game there, because we'll go to questions after this, because the game was a little bit putrid for all of dominance. John's mentioned, so he doesn't trust, so Arsene clearly doesn't trust Chambers. He doesn't trust Pear in a back two. He doesn't trust Theo anymore. There's a host of names that were mentioned there. So why the hell did he buy these players in the first place? You know, you look at someone like Chambers, who's had a really good loan spell last season at Borough, did extremely well, yet the boss doesn't trust him anymore. He hasn't even given him a chance. Theo, he gives you goals, but there have been some poor performances in Europe from Theo this season, but with his pace, he's liable to get you a goal. You know, he doesn't trust these guys, yet he's watching Alexis Sanchez put dog shit out on that pitch nearly every game this season. And yet he doesn't trust those guys. What do you think's going through the boss's mind?
Who would know? I think there is an element of he doesn't want to be wrong. You know, he's had so many journalists and media people poking him, saying, do you think Alexis still wants to be here? And he's always stout and saying, yes, he's committed, he's dedicated to the club, he's a professional. As soon as you drop him, the knives are going to come out, you know. Alexis, and John was right earlier with Lacazette throwing his gloves on the ground. I can guarantee the media are already writing headlines about how, you know, oh, new record signing Lacazette, frustrated at blah, 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 blah. And John's right. He wasn't frustrated at anything other than the fact that he missed some chances. And I want to see him frustrated. I don't want him walking off, clapping, thinking he's had a good game when he hasn't. But I think there is that aspect of it. But Danny wrote it in the chat box. He always has, and he always will have his favourites. And so I don't really understand having a big squad. But maybe the reason he doesn't trust these players is because they don't know what they're doing. If he coached them better and he coached a structure and a system, you would be able to. You would be easily able to take Monreal or Koscielny out if they're not fit enough to play, and pop Holding or Chambers in, because they would know what to do. Are you going to get the level of performance? Probably not. But if everyone's doing their job, they're not going to be exposed, and they're not going to be in a situation where you think, maybe I can't put him in. And then you have an over-reliance on the same players, and then they all get injured, and then the same shit happens every season. But I think it's a catch-22 where he won't instill structures and systems, but at the same time, like, you're right, he's not going to trust other players to come in and put in some decent performances. I don't know why he's still playing Alexis. I don't think many people really understand why he's still playing Alexis. I wouldn't be playing Alexis.
I'd
be putting nearly anybody there instead of him. He's not contributing anything other than giving the team chances to score, because he's giving the ball away so often and we're getting counter-attacked so often that if he assists in every second game, he's probably responsible for that many goals the other way.
I think that's a fair point, pal. I think that's a really fair point. One of the guys on the podcast put in the WhatsApp group, I'm not going to mention his name because he didn't want this spoken outside of the group, so I'll leave him anonymous, but he turned around and he said in the group the other night, if you put Tony Pulis in charge of our defence for 2 weeks, we'd be a damn sight better team, a better defensive team than we are now. And I find that hard to argue with, because
something that I've actually been poking people about. We've been privileged enough to have ex-Arsenal players on this show. We've had Invincible winning squad members on a Bergkamp Wonderland before, and we've been lucky enough to be able to talk to them. And it's a question I like to ask everyone, even our very own Goonaholic, who has been to many, many Arsenal trainings over his years. And my question is, how much work does our team do in training off the ball? How much stuff do they do when it comes to shape, when it comes to what happens when we turn the ball over? What system are we going to employ? What are we going to do? And even the ex-players said, oh, we didn't really do much training without the ball. You know, and that is evident to me, because yes, look, I understand the philosophy of, look, if we've got the ball, then the other team doesn't. You don't need to worry about defending. But if you're going to start turning the ball over as frequently as we do, players need to have some idea of what's going on, which is why I think you're starting to see. We had Mertesacker and Koscielny in a back four with Coughlin sitting in front of them go on a hell of a run of conceding basically nothing. Like, so we're capable of doing it. The problem is, I don't think we have a team right now that knows how they're supposed to defend. And in the Premier League, if one player gets caught out of position, if you're deciding that you're going to press and one player doesn't press, automatically you have an overlap. And a decent team will find that overlap and they will end up with a 2-on-1 at some stage. And so there's so many situations inside the game itself and tactically and all the other stuff that I've got to be honest, I don't think I understand well enough to have too much of a strong opinion on it. But I think I've seen it before. I've seen runs of form before where we've been defensively very, very good. And so I know that we're capable of doing it. So that's got to ask the question as to why we're not.
I think that's a very fair point. Alexander G and Haroon Shabir in the chat box. Right, so over in the chat box, if you could give us a thumbs up, that would be much appreciated. The whole team put a lot of effort in. They give up their time freely. You know, Dom was up at stupid o'clock this morning to watch this game. I say stupid o'clock, 7. But, you know, the guys put a lot of effort in. It's all we don't earn anything out of it. If you could give us a thumbs up, really, really appreciate it. Chat box has been excellent tonight, by the way, guys. Some really good discussion. Oh, Mike from Gooners in the USA is there. Oh, God help us. It's been some really good discussion and some really good mickey taking, which I've enjoyed. And Mike is the second person to talk about Dom's plunging neckline. He's showing off the pecs. He's showing off the pecs. And he's in Canada at the moment, guys, so I don't think it's that warm out there.
It's probably like 0 degrees and the tart's talking about it being cold.
It's 6 degrees and it's ridiculous.
6 degrees? That's warm, mate. Shorts and t-shirt, that is.
I went to work the other day and I had to sit down to pee. I couldn't find it. So game over.
You'll have to take him to somewhere in the valleys, Jace, in proper winter.
I'd take him to Merthyr. Oh my God. Never mind. In any case, right, on to questions. John, you first. Sidhu7549 asks, why do our midfielders lack killer instinct in front of goal?
They're all very creative and they want to make the final pass. They're not, I don't know, it's weird. They're kind of the, even if they get it in the box, is there a better option? That's their first thought, and I think that's kind of the way they're taught to play. Is there someone who's maybe in a slightly better position who's got a better chance to score a goal? It's kind of like the, what's the saying? Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're all trying to direct the play rather than be the one to put it in the back of the net. Ramsey is one of the few midfielders we've got who will look to score a goal and will be selfish. Jack's got the ability to score goals. We've seen that. That goal he scored against Barthez was a really, really good goal. You know, so he should definitely score more. Xhaka isn't... Yes, he can hit one from range and he can score a free kick, that kind of thing, but he's never been a prolific goal scorer. He's not that type of player. But we should be expecting more goals from Iwobi, Jack, Ozil, who's this season and last season started to produce that more, that's for sure. But I don't think you're really going to see more. We've seen a little bit more from Elneny, you know, when he's got the chance to play. We just don't have those sort of players.
But John, okay, when you look at the technical, let's ignore Francis Coughlin in this, by the way. But if you look at the technical ability, genuinely, I thought the better player came onto the pitch when Coughlin replaced Sanchez today. At the moment, I'd rather see Coughlin in that position than bloody Alexis. At least he'd get a bit more effort. But when you look at the technical ability of our midfielders, I've had this problem with Ozil. I've got this problem with Santi Cazorla. If you can hit the bloody ball through a tyre from 30 yards, you can hit the target.
Yeah. It's the way they're taught to play. It's always pass, pass, pass. Look for a man in the better position. Don't have that killer instinct. And you've seen it before. You know, when you get a player has a shot and it's either not on target or it's an easy save for the goalkeeper, and then the camera goes to the manager. Arsene doesn't look happy. He looks annoyed that they've, you know, given the ball up and given up possession. And I do genuinely think it's a training thing. I do think it's a training thing.
But the bottom line is, okay,
They should be able to put the ball away. Yes, no, I agree. They do not have the conviction. I think it's partly down to training. I think it's a mentality thing as well. They don't have it's the intangible thing, isn't it? It's what you would say the last couple of seasons at Arsenal, but he hasn't got this. But
you can solve that with shooting practice. You can solve that problem. You practice shooting. You do the old Beckham thing and stay behind for 2 hours after training to make yourself better. And we don't seem to be able to do it.
They don't do it. That's the thing. They don't do it. So.
Okay. Stan the Man made a point earlier on. Laka looked vexed when he got hooked. We've covered that. We all kind of agree that he's more annoyed with himself. Jeffrey O'Hara made a point that Chelsea struggled against West Ham and Southampton recently. Yes, they did, but Leicester didn't struggle against Southampton, did they? You know, it's one of those things. It's very difficult. Usama Zaka asks, Dom, should we offer Welbeck a new contract? In my view, no, but he's 27, 4 seasons, and him as a forward output has been below par. We could invest in someone or promote Reece Nelson, you know, etc. What do you think?
I probably agree. I do like Welbeck, but you know, if you're really trying to improve this team, what big teams would he be chased by? I think, you know, the reality for Welbeck is that the only teams that would be approaching him would be teams like Everton, West Ham, you know, those kinds of that level, I guess. And so he is definitely probably a position on the pitch that I think we could upgrade on. And I think,
but I'm going to come back to you there with, you know, we're going to have to replace Alexis Sanchez either in January or the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mesut Ozil as well, maybe, and with the money needed to bring in players to, you know, to bring them the quality we need into these positions to replace these guys, are we going to have the money to do that? Isn't it easier just to give Welbeck a new contract because he is a decent squad player, you know, and that's what he is at the moment. You know, he's not starting every game. He's a squad player for us. You know, there's the flip side to that argument where you're going to need funds elsewhere.
Yeah, I'd still like to see other players go as well. You know, I think that he would be on some decent wages. I think that it would clear up space. I think there are players that would be able to do the same role as Welbeck that wouldn't have the same kind of wages, for example. And I think that's been some of our issue, is that we haven't been able to get certain players off of our list and off of our wage bill. I don't think... It's the same with Oxlade-Chamberlain. When he left, a lot of us just sort of felt, well, oh, well. You know, it wasn't a huge loss. It wasn't a player that we looked at and went, oh, no, what are we going to do? He wasn't an integral part of the squad, and that's a little bit how I feel about Welbeck. And I don't think you need to spend crazy amounts of money to bring someone in that can be a more integral part of your structure. And, you know, the point of him being 27 is a good one. You know, he's not a young up-and-coming player that you can give a little bit more time to develop into something. You know what you're going to get. I don't think Welbeck's going to turn around and start all of a sudden putting in performances of a player, you know, of, I don't know. I can't even think of any examples off the top of my head. But the performances that he's putting in for us, whilst not terrible, and I do think he adds a bit of value to the team, he's not somebody that you're going to want starting all the time, is he?
He's not going to grab you 20 goals a season, is he? That's the problem.
Saying just give him another contract, I know obviously you're arguing for the other side, Jason, you don't necessarily agree with that, but that's what we've done with Walcott, with Bentners, all those sort of players in the past, is just, oh, well, you know, just give him another contract because they offer something to the squad. It's not... The thing with Welbeck is you can probably get really good money for him because he's English. We got 40 million for Oxlade-Chamberlain. I know Welbeck is older. We got 40 million for Oxlade-Chamberlain. If you are English, you cost a fortune. Cost a fortune, and your wage demands are high because you're English. That's just the way it is in the Premier League. I guarantee, I bet you could sell Welbeck for 25, 30 million to someone like Everton, West Ham, whoever. You could then take that money and get someone who is as talented or more talented from around Europe and get him on less money.
I agree with the point, boys. Okay, I really do agree with the point. But the one thing I look at over the last few years, and I know we've had some new guys come into the backroom staff, but, you know, we're the club that gives Francis Coughlan 70 grand a week.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if Welbeck got another contract, because I agree that, like, I don't think he does offer enough for the team, and I don't think he's improved since he's been here. It's a shame, and he's had some bad injuries as well. He's been unlucky with that, to be fair. But I do like when he's on the pitch, his work rate and his commitment, I don't ever doubt that. He always tries hard. He always works really hard for the team and tries to put in his best performance. Sometimes his best performance isn't good enough. And that's just down to his lack of technical ability or skill or decision-making, all those kind of things. But, you know, you can't doubt his commitment for what he's trying to do on the pitch. He always goes out and tries his best.
Exactly, but the one thing I look at our transfer policy of the last few seasons, and I'm looking at Sanchez and Ozil leaving at the moment, and I think, you know, that's going to be your priority. There's your priority. Everything else is opportunity arises and the right players available, and you can get the right money, then you can sell. But other than that, I think it's a very difficult situation for the club going into the next two or three transfer windows. I think, you know, we're going to have bigger fish to fry. John, I'm going to stick with you on this one because Dom has spoken about this already. Mm-hmm. Formerly Noza asks, do we have a football identity these days? I want your take on it.
I don't think we do anymore. We've had, as a club in general, we've had eras of different styles of football. You can go all the way back to Chapman, you can George Graham, you can go back to the team in the 70s, you can go back to Wenger when he first came in, you know, changed it to the back four and the sort of, they're very quick with the wide players in Overmars and the counter-attacking football, and then the Henry years with Bergkamp, how good that football was. Then we changed again, Fabregas, Project Youth, all that, 4-3-3, and it was tiki-taka Barca style. But it was exciting to watch. Wasn't always effective. Didn't always work, you know, when we conceded silly goals and we had similar problems back then as well. But you knew what we were going to go and do on the pitch. I think now when I watch us, I know for the most part what we're going to do. I just don't think it's necessarily the plan, because what we're going to do is keep the ball, pass it around sideways, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, get to the 18-yard box and then go left or right instead of going forwards. And we don't, you know, there's no cutting edge to it. When we're all on song and we're playing really, really well and we're playing at high speed and the movement's perfect and everyone's moving about, then there's gaps and you can see some of the pretty goals we score. But it doesn't happen often enough. And I think the philosophy of Arsene Wenger has changed to, when you're in the final third, you kind of do what you want and it's free form and, you know, there's no real directions. It's you get to that point of the pitch, you know, get on with it kind of thing. There's no real instruction. And I think everyone's habit, because we are such a passing team and have been for so long, and that's the way they're brought up in the environment, like young players like Bellerin, but players who've come to the squad go, oh, it's Arsenal. They're the pretty passing team from the Premier League. The first instinct whenever you get the ball is just to pass it on to another guy. And it's always an easy pass to your left or your right-hand side. And they don't necessarily take the adventurous one going forwards. If they do, then they either do an Alexis Sanchez and give the ball away, they do an Aaron Ramsey try a fancy flick and it doesn't work, and then everyone gets on your back for it.
It does make me laugh. I mean, you talk about the Ramsey and the fancy flicks. I've heard people say, oh, I don't like him doing the fancy flicks. Don't like him doing the fancy flicks. And yet there's the goal against Tottenham. There's the goal against Galatasaray.
Sometimes they come off and other times they don't. I don't necessarily have a problem with a player on the 18-yard box trying to make a little flick round the corner pass or a little dink over the top or a through ball, and it doesn't come off. Because at that point of the pitch, if the opposition you're playing against is playing properly, it shouldn't come off because they're defending.
But this is the side of it. With the lead back to Lacazette for the goal against United, then people say, oh, I'm not sure if you meant it. And you think, oh, come on. You can't keep on hammering people. You know, you look at Jack with the way he carries the ball at his feet. You know, he does that to create. You know, and I love that about him. It unfortunately gets him injured, but you're just not going to change that about these guys. That's their game, and that's a big thing. And you know, you when you watch Jack, so take the ball on and challenge players, and you know, lay off that little pass after he's created the space. So if you see Ramsey, you know, flick around the corner to Ollie, and Ollie's got a lovely one-touch game. Yeah. It's a thing of beauty to watch. It really is. You know, these guys are talented guys.
They try to do that perfect goal, especially when Giroud's on, they try to do that perfect goal playing off the centre forward, which doesn't always work. And I think Lacazette coming into the team is opening up some more options.
Yeah.
It's made players like Ozil play a bit better as well, because they've got a different striker in front of them and different kind of movement, which opens up space for him as well, which is nice. But until you get the manager sat down with the team and saying, right, you know what you should be doing in this section of the pitch, this section of the pitch. You know how to keep possession, you know all these things. But when you get to the final third, right, if we're playing with a back three, Kolasinac, Bellerin, stay on the touchline. Do not come off that. Until you are, you know, at level with a six-yard box, then you can come in and pull it back. But you want to stay as wide as you can, stretch the opposition, make some space. Lacazette, work between the two centre-backs or three centre-backs, depending on what you're playing against. Try and move them about, stretch them. Ramsey, keep your runs going. Try and drag a midfielder, confuse them. Confuse whether the midfielder is going to follow your run or the defender's going. And when you get that, and you know, if anyone who's in the chat box is watching Man City at the moment, you'll see that they do first time switch the ball instantly as soon as they get it out to Sane or Sterling. And they do it without looking, because they know those players are going to be there. They know exactly that's where they're going to be on the pitch, because they've been told that's where you're going to be. And if they don't do that, they get dropped and they're out of the team. Because they have a plan. You watch Tottenham, they do the high press thing, and City do it as well, where if you lose the ball high at the pitch, everyone presses. It exposes you at the back, but if you can win that ball back within 5 seconds, then you've got a really good part of the pitch and the other team isn't organised properly and you can exploit that. All of these things, all these teams in the Premier League, they all have a set system in play, and it's through every third of the pitch. And I think we have defensive midfield third, and then the front you know, the final third, I don't think we have that. And I think that just comes down to, it's not a lack of coaching, because I think Arsene Wenger does coach attacking football. Clearly he does. That's what he wants to play. But I don't think he gives set directions on what you're supposed to do. He will show you and give you examples and say, you can do this. This is a good move. You know, you can position yourself here and create space over this space. But he doesn't say, this is what you should be doing against this opposition. This is what you should be doing against this team. I've shown you what you can do in the final third. Just now go and do it. I trust you to go and do it on the pitch. And I think 10, 15 years ago, that works. I don't think you can do that in the Premier League anymore. The competition's too high. The other coaches are much more intelligent than they were before. Players are better coached than they were before.
I think you're bang on. Stephen Edwards asks, does 4-4-3 mean no place for Kolasinac?
No, not at all. I think that he's carrying a little injury at the moment. I don't think he's fit enough. I'm not really sure how they're going to get him back into some kind of fitness, but I remember it was someone to do with Arseblog. It could have been Gunnerblog or Tim Stillman or someone that had an amazing tweet about Kolasinac before he'd even played a game at left back for Arsenal. And it went something along the lines of, you know, the timeline of a left back at Arsenal, he'll come in, he'll play a great to start with, then he'll be exposed by a lack of defensive now, so then everyone will call him shit. And that's exactly what's happened. It's amazing how easy it is for us to predict the life cycle of a player in a certain position for us. You know, and that's true. I know that Koscielny has made some individual errors, but I've seen the best centre backs in the world make individual mistakes. But usually they're covered by the rest of the defence. Whereas if one of our defenders makes an individual mistake, it gets punished because no one knows what the hell's going on. So I think that to be able to predict that kind of life cycle of a player, especially a defender, says a lot about how we defend.
It's sad, isn't it? I think one of my problems at the moment, and it's with Koscielny, and I love Lauren Koscielny. I think he's been a fabulous servant to the club. But when you're making the same mistakes, it's frustrating, you know. It's lunacy to make the same mistakes. But I think that comes from the manager as well. I want you both to answer this one. We got two more questions and we're done. Okay. Michael Hahnemann asks, why does Wenger always in? No, that's the wrong question. Sorry. Yeah, well, we're gonna ask it anyway. Why does Wenger always insist on subbing Lacazette, and when he starts, and then leaves him out there and to come on for 5 minutes when he doesn't start, like on Wednesday? John, your take on that?
I've got no idea. Honestly, I don't understand it. At the start of the season, I thought it made sense because he's new to the league and there is a physicality difference and there is a pace difference from Premier League to Liga. It's not as big as everyone thinks, but there is going to be a noticeable difference. And you know, I think he's started to deal physically a little bit better with the league, and you can see he doesn't go down quite as easily and he fights more for the ball. But at this point in the season, you know, the fact he's played no Europa League games, you know, he's missed some big games as well, not been started for them. I think now he should be playing 90 minutes. I think some of his frustration today was obviously, you know, missing the chances he knows he should have scored. And yeah, I think a little bit of it will be, I've been taken off. I'm disappointed. You know, I think if you look at statistics for strikers, goals that they'll score in the last 10, 15 minutes of games, if you're in a game where you're dominating it, that's when you're going to get a lot of your goals, because the other team will be more tired by them because you move the ball about a lot. So he's probably frustrated with that as well. I think there is an element of, not that he doesn't want to upset Giroud, but Arsene Wenger clearly does very much like Giroud. He's got a lot of time for him, which I understand because, he's been a great player for the club and he's, you know, got over 100 goals for Arsenal, which is no small achievement. You know, and he's done it at a time when the club hasn't been at their best, like with the squads we've had and stuff. And he wants to give him his chance. He's kind of a victim of the fact that people don't tend to play two strikers anymore. I think he could play with Giroud. I think they'd actually play very well together. I think they'd enjoy playing together. I think he can play wide left as well. He's been quite comfortable doing that. He did that at the start. And if you were going to drop Alexis, then why not play Giroud, Ozil and Lacazette as your front three? I think that's fine. You know, I think that's something you can do. I hope this is a thing that sort of fades out as we get past December and January, because we have got a lot of games at the moment. So maybe it is slightly down to rotation. And that's why he's not always bringing him on when he's not starting until like the last 5-6 minutes or whatever. But yeah, if it carries on past January, then I'd start having serious concerns as to what it is the manager that he's seeing in training that makes him think that Lacazette can't do 90 minutes all the time. Because otherwise, that's a big chunk of money we spent on him.
Yeah, you know, it is.
You know, he's got a long way to prove that he was worth that money. I don't think that's not his fault. You know, I don't think any player should be judged on that, because players are a victim of the stupid transfer market at the moment. It's like saying Lukaku is worth 90 million. Lukaku doesn't think he's worth 90 million. It's just what Man United stupidly paid for.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. So I really like him, and I hope he gets to play 90 minutes more often. Because you can see he's annoyed.
Totally.
You know, you can see when he's annoyed when he's not doing any games. And I've really liked everything he's contributed so far to the club. He scored some great goals. I think his movement's really good. His link-up play is very intelligent. I think he's developed very quickly an understanding with Aaron Ramsey. They seem to understand each other quite well. I think as he plays with Jack more often, I think he'll really benefit from playing with Jack. So which is maybe the one upside of Ramsey not being in the team at the moment, the fact that Jack's playing, because Jack has got that kind of similar ability that like Nabil Fekir had, that he played so well with at Lyon. So I hope to see more from him, but yeah, after January, I don't want to see him coming off, you know, 70 minutes in a game, because
you can't spend that money on a player.
Yeah, no, I did. Sorry. You can't spend that sort of money on a player and not leave him on the pitch because you bought him to score goals. But yeah, full Carpenter done. It was about Lacazette, so I had to go full Carpenter in his honour.
Yeah, but I respect that. Hats off to the Pirates. They're getting humped 8-0 again by somebody tomorrow. Right. Questions. Dom, Rob Wilkins, 78. On Wednesday, I felt we could have gone out and battered these them 5-0, the same as today. Is the problem simply that Wenger no longer knows how to get these results?
Well, we did batter Everton 5-1, wasn't it? And we battered
Barte. They were awful. They were. But Barte with a dog and duck.
Newcastle weren't exactly better.
Exactly, but we didn't get the result today, did we?
No, that's exactly right. So that's exactly the issue, is that, I mean, what, we have 7 shots on target today? And scored 1 goal. 11 off target, something like that.
I'm not sure.
I don't think the quality of our shots are great. And in that game, I thought Newcastle got themselves into just as many dangerous positions as what we did. They just didn't have the end product to do much with it. And West Ham, you could probably say the same thing. Dominating possession doesn't mean much anymore. It's not a good indicator on whether you've dominated the game just because you've had most of the possession. It used to be a few years ago, you know, with the whole tiki-taka Barcelona style thing going on. And then, you know, fast, strong, powerful counter-attacking football has definitely been the most successful a la Real Madrid over the last 3 to 4 years. Leicester did it in the league, you know. So Man City are doing it. It's a transitional game now. And I think you need to quickly get the ball to your forwards before defences can sit back and defend and get everyone behind the ball. Because teams are so well organised now that it's very difficult to find space to have shots. And I don't know too many times where we were running. Well, there was a couple towards the end of the game, but they still didn't quite get the ball there fast enough. The only one I can think of is the Lacazette one where he tried the chip shot. And if you're not able to do that to teams more often, then the speed of our build-up play is so sideways and so slow that it's the quality of chances that you're trying to shoot from, I think, is the big difference between what was happening previously when we can score a lot of goals and what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. I think you're right, you're bang on the money. By the way, there's some Aussie just this in the chat box earlier on. Yeah, it's a shame that boy used to have something to say, and nowadays it's all a bit nonsense. Right, one word.
You're up.
One word answers. John, first of all, Ryan Costs asks, do you believe we will sign Goretzka on a free?
No.
Right. Dom, Chill Doctor asks, should we go for Mahrez when Ozil or Alexis leave?
No.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward. That's it for tonight, guys. A big thank you to everybody in the chat box. You know, other than when it yet, it's been really fun tonight, and it's been really intelligent. My thanks to Dom. Dom, thank you very much, mate.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back.
Good to be.
Enjoyed
back.
That. Yeah, yeah. My thanks to John Pepe Le Pew.
Cheers, Chase.
I enjoyed that because I did. I really didn't enjoy the game. I really didn't enjoy the game. I thought the game was frustrating and our usual fare from the last couple of weeks. But thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been ABW Radio. Take care. Good night.